Welcome back to
How's About.
Yep, it's been quite a while since our last episode, but we are so excited to be here in Portugal. And this time we are accompanied by our newest favorite little traveler, Mr. Caleb, who I'm sure will be chiming in with some of his thoughts on our travels. This is going to be a mini series of smaller episodes rather than one big episode about Portugal. We're going to do a hopefully daily or maybe every 2 days, just a little miniature episode to fill you in on what we've been experiencing. All right, enjoy. So our travels began at no later than 3:15 a.m. in Spokane. We had the just most insane whole day of travel. We're only just now feeling like we have our heads on straight, and it's been about, I guess, 2 or 3 days since we left. It's hard to keep track because of the time zone changes. But from Spokane, just to give you the quick overview of how we got to where we are in Sintra, Portugal, we went from Spokane, from our house, took an Uber with all of Caleb's belongings, and we've got a slumber pod tent that he sleeps, a blackout tent that he sleeps in that we brought, as well as a stroller and a car seat, as well as our own belongings, which we packed incredibly light because we plan on just kind of buying some thrift store clothes and ditching them here when we're done with them, or returning them to the thrift store, really not returning, but dropping them off. We piled into an Uber, went to the airport, Spokane to Seattle, had a very short hour layover. From there we flew Seattle to JFK, had a 6-hour layover where we took advantage of a lounge non-membership. It was not even a membership. Actually, pro tip out there, I did not know about the lounges and how accessible they are. Such an awesome way to spend time in an airport. It was just a bit of money. I think it was about $40 a person to go and stay for hours at this totally free, totally large buffet of really delicious fresh food, quiet place. You're not hearing all those announcements all the time or trying to find a place to sit. There was plenty of seating, and it was really, really amazing to have that place. We even brought out all of Caleb's stuff and set him up for a nap at the lounge. It was just so lovely.
In his tent.
Yep.
In the fancy lounge.
Set up the tent. In the lounge. Oh, yes. I think Justin wants to say a little bit more about the lounge.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was great. They're every 30 minutes they brought out.
Caleb wants to say some stuff too.
He was really excited.
Loved it.
Yeah. Well, they brought out different food. They had Greek food and Chinese food and some tapas, and they just kind of kept bringing out different stuff. And the older gentleman that let us in was so nice. And everybody had New York accents, and it was really busy. JFK is the busiest airport I think I've ever seen, and we were able to find actually a quiet place for 6 hours. So that was great.
That was a good place to be.
And then we got on our plane with Cat Portugal.
We did have a skip and hop to travel from terminal to terminal in JFK. You can't just walk to the next place. You have to take an AirTran to the bus, to the this, to the that, to get to, our flight over to, Tap Portugal, which is lovely. Flying only a 6-hour flight from JFK to Lisbon.
It was nice. They actually moved a couple people, so we had 4 seats in the middle. It was a wide body, so that we had 4 seats in a row in the middle of the plane. And we had a bassinet, which apparently you can request on some of these flights, that clips into the wall if you're sitting in the right spot. And that was amazing until the flight attendants came by and said, there's turbulence, you need to pull this baby out, and he's dead asleep. And all of you that have babies know that once they're asleep, it's a miracle, and you don't want to undo that miracle. So we delayed as much as possible trying to shuffle about
terrible.
And not pull him out. And then they strongly insisted we take this baby
out
right now.
This is not good.
And so we created a second tent area between our 2 seats and hung blankets and he knows about it. And we sneaky transferred him, and he actually didn't wake up. And he slept for a little while longer. So
for a little while until I very, very just deliriously decided I wanted to check on him and make sure that he was breathing okay, because we had the little miniature seatbelt we had to clip him into. And he was totally fine, but my fussing with the seatbelt
woke him up. And the rest
and
of the plane.
The rest of the plane for 10 minutes. It was the worst.
Oh, you mean a half hour.
Was it a half hour?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. mortifying. So bad. I felt so bad. So ultimately he ended up just sleeping on my chest. I put on the Ergo baby and had him sleeping on me, and my back is okay. It's doing okay. But yeah, that was pretty wild. And then, we landed in Lisbon finally. And yeah, from there it's been, let's see, it took us a little bit to, we took the tiniest Uber. I even paid more. Oh, it was so funny. I opened up the Uber app, plugged in, we were headed to go pick up our camper van. And I selected, not economy, because I knew we had a lot of, luggage. Despite our attempts to travel as light as possible.
Well, not a lot of luggage. We only had carry-ons.
This was it. But we had the car seat and the stroller. Yeah.
And pro tip, you can put extra stuff in the car seat bag.
That's true.
Yeah,
car seat bag.
And they check car seats for free. Gate check.
Totally.
And also we had to gate check them because part of our plan was making sure that we had our stroller at the other end right away so that we could carry Caleb.
Yeah, exactly. So that was really nice, not having to go down to baggage claim at all. So I selected this non-economy, larger, more expensive Uber, but it shows up.
It was a Fiat Panda. It was
tiny.
And you'd think a panda is a large car. Big animal, small car. It is a Kia Soul.
Oh my gosh.
It's just a European Kia Soul.
Ooh, this reminds me. You owe me a back massage.
Why?
Because that was the deal, remember?
What?
Oh, he must have missed it. Because I sat in back with Caleb and had the stroller
on top of
me. Not just like resting on top of me, like actually squished into me because
it wouldn't fit any other seat.
It would go in the stroller was on me.
The Uber driver actually was like, I'm leaving. This is not gonna happen. And we just said, nope, we're gonna make this happen. So and he was a great guy from Algeria, and we ended up talking in Spanish because he actually spoke Spanish, and had a good chat about Portugal and the food and everything, and then finally made it to our van spot, Indie Camper. I think they're in a bunch of other countries too, but we were there early, but they were also delayed, so it took all 3 hours to get out of there with a van.
I think I definitely slept on that couch.
Yeah, it was a very dirty couch. A lot of Indie Campers also slept on that couch.
I felt at home there.
Oh yeah, we saw lots of Gen Z surfers coming in and out.
I think there was some Gen X surfers too.
Oh, one Gen X surfer for sure. Whom we saw two times later at the grocery store and our campsite later.
Yeah, that was
a big city.
Yeah.
But hope he's doing well.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, and the guy that helped us set the car seat left his wallet in the van, so we had to drive back a half hour to give him his wallet back.
Yeah, we finally got a call, leaving
there for the second time.
Ooh.
It was 5 something.
Yeah. Yep.
PM. Mm-hmm. We're jet lagged. We're delirious.
We have half of a brain between us.
Yeah. Barely got this van.
Literally, metaphorically.
Through the city to a campsite where we actually parked next to the guy from the camper van place, the Gen X surfer dude. Then we managed to find our way to the cafe, which was still open at this campsite. So in Europe, campsites are a thing. It's like families from all over go to these huge campsites. They're like, they're almost like kids camps, but they're for adults and stuff with campers. So they have a sit down restaurant with fluff napkins and wine glasses and stuff. And so we're like, who cares? We just gotta
We had a ton of snacks that we brought, thank goodness, because we needed food. Even though we had filled up at the lounge, it had been quite a while since then. We had a few kind of sparse meals on the plane, but we were just snacking on our, basically imagine a charcuterie board stuffed inside Winko bags and in a Walmart shopping bag. It's just like, this is what we've been eating all day. Cause we've been, just sitting places. We haven't gone for a bite. So we're starving, so hungry. And I'm just like, I don't care what we order because the menu is in Portuguese and we don't know anything. Even though we actually learned a little bit of Portuguese on the plane. They had some instructional videos that we did, in fact, watch, which was boa. Yep. Really great.
Yep. Came
that
in
means
handy.
Really great. Yes. we didn't know anything. So I'm looking at this menu. I'm like, order whatever. But then and Justin was getting ready to order, but then we both kind of stop and we look around. I'm like, hang on.
Oh, there's 6 other couples in this restaurant, and they're all sitting there awkwardly.
It's 7:30. Like, they should be eating.
And none of them have food.
No one has food.
And we realize there's one teenager that's a cook and another that's the waiter, and that's it.
And the place doesn't even smell remotely like food.
Like, the food's not even starting to cook.
Is there even... Yeah. I'm looking around. I'm like, this is not going to happen.
So we put the menu on the table.
I said, thank you. No. What did we say? We said, obrigada.
Yeah, which means thank you.
Said, obrigada.
And walked out to the parking lot. And Lauren is at this point so hungry. Boa noite. So delirious. Fortunately, I had bought some pasta at a grocery store and some sauce and some suspect sausage that seemed like brains or something. But
it was so good.
Worked our magic with the super cool European camper stove. This is the kind of bottle that clicks into the side can. It's really cool if you've ever seen one of these really neat camper van stoves that are portable. And whipped up some spaghetti. And ate that just in the nick of time before Lauren died of hunger.
Yeah, I was very close.
And then we drug what was left of our 2% of our 100% energy to the shower area.
Hang on. We have to describe this moment. Oh. We're just in this parking lot next to this little cafe, dead of night. It's spattering rain, and we're just sitting. The back of the bed is all made, but we're just sitting in the open, the back of the camper van, and Caleb's just between us cuddling, and we're just eating this delicious hot spaghetti. I'll just never forget that moment. This was our first evening in Portugal.
That was when it all came together.
It's like,
30 hours of pushing and traveling and repositioning a baby. Got us to that bowl of spaghetti. And then to a hot shower.
Yeah.
Which was creative, but we got it done.
Pretty creative.
And mine was much hotter than Lauren's.
Yeah. I had to wait. Yeah. It was
hard. But she got a second shower in the morning, which was hot.
It was hot.
And I did not, because we slept in.
Wait, pause. We're on to that point. Okay. And that is the conclusion of the very first day of our day in Portugal.
Okay.
Now we have a next day. Sorry.
You're just gonna keep it going.
Yeah, I would pause.
All right, so there we were. Woke up in our camper van in the discount area of this camp compound. Discount area means there's no concrete pads, there's just a hill that's muddy. And so we essentially just parked on the road. Because whatever.
And during the night, Caleb had woken up around 2 a.m. Oh, 1 a.m. Actually, it was like 12:30. And we tried really hard to get him to go back to sleep in his slumber pod that we had set up. But ultimately, he ended up
sleeping between
us. Sleeping with us, which was super cute. It was really fun.
We try not to encourage it, but you know.
But now we're dead. We'll be jet lagged.
Yep.
Yeah. So we woke up with him in between us.
Yeah, we woke up at, 8 or 9 a.m.
Because that's like sleeping in for us, you know.
But no, it was noon. Well, checkout is noon.
So good.
One thing about Europeans, they love their rules and they love sticking to them.
It was 11:48 a.m.
And
when
I knew
we woke
after
up.
Noon, they even told us yesterday, if you're going to be late, you need to tell us and da-da-da-da, you know. But Lauren really wanted another shower.
I was like, there's no way I'm not showering and washing off our boy who was really sweaty when we woke up. So, the car had gotten warm.
Quickly packed up, organized ourselves, drove Lauren and Caleb to the shower. Dropped them off with the bare essentials, a towel and a toothbrush and whatever. And I sped on through, out the exit, ran inside and handed them our key card passes. just in the nick of time, maybe at 12:02. And they weren't happy, but they didn't find us. And then I waited outside and Lauren had to sneak under the railing.
Before we do that, I took Caleb to the shower. And the shower was... I mean, imagine your kind of typical campsite
truck stop shower.
It's not the cleanest. It's fine. How was I supposed to do this with Caleb? So it got a little rough in there. What I had to do was I took one of the blankets that accidentally ended up in our stuff from Tap Portugal.
Airplane, sorry.
Yes, Tap Portugal, the airplane. It's a red fleece. So I took this red fleece, folded it up, and put it on the kind of wettish ground. So Caleb was there while I showered, and then I picked him up and showered him off, put him back on the... anyway, it was really, really tricky. But we managed.
We still have that gross towel in this.
Oh, yeah. We're going to do laundry tomorrow. We're going to do a ton of laundry tomorrow. But that was, what else are you going to do? There was no other place to put him while we did all that. So anyway, then I walk the bit of a ways down the hill and were just kind of blinking in the and in the sweet and warm
she
air.
She snuck out under the exit railing because she couldn't key card swipe out because we had already checked out.
But. We did not have a key card to leave, so did that. Joined up with Justin, and we're all feeling dry and clean. Well, Caleb and I are.
I have had no coffee. I have had no shower. I have none of those things.
So what do? We blink and look in the distance, and we see four yellow letters with a blue background popping out to us, and we're like, I know what that is.
IKEA.
IKEA!
So in our days in stupor, knowing we had to get Caleb a mattress or a pack and play or something so he'd sleep through the night, we figured IKEA, because we'd already looked at two different stores, had everything else but baby stuff. So we figure IKEA's got baby stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Not really super excited about some of their food, so we weren't going to eat there, but we went ahead and headed towards IKEA, and we almost got there, but then we started smelling the most delicious smell as we're walking through. It's because it's cobblestone streets in ancient history next to IKEA. And so right across the road is this beautiful village, and we're almost out of the village, but then I was like, nope, we're turning right, we're following that smell. And we see a whole bunch of working-age men sitting outside, drinking wine, smoking cigarettes, and eating delicious food. And there's no tables, there's no spots. And so we just sit down next to a couple of construction workers.
And they had two seats next to them, basically at their table.
Yeah, really joined their table. And they said, oh, absolutely, you know. Lauren said her phrase to find out if they spoke English.
Let's see. I have to practice it first. Senor fala English?
Yeah,
there Which we go. Means, does the gentleman speak English? It's kind of a formal way to ask.
And one gentleman did, and the other did not. And he was very excited to talk and practice. And ended up giving us a bunch of amazing advice about where to go and what to do. And just things about his country, how the economy works. And how the...
Oh, yes, the economy is a little... Yeah. We might need to pause here in a little bit. We'll see. But yeah, in fact, nope, we're going to keep rolling. We're rolling. So good. So I'm going to take a second and describe our surroundings. So if you've ever been to Greece or seen pictures of Greece, this is sort of what it feels like in this area of Portugal. Everything is white. All of the buildings are white. It has that very old feel, kind of the what is it called? The style of roofing with the
terracotta
roofing everywhere. So I guess it looks more like Spain, but the whiteness, it was just very white. The cobblestones, in fact, are also kind of white. But the steps, this is an interesting little bit fact, you know, I don't feel like when steps are really short, like tiny little steps, they're the tiny steps everywhere. And
I mean, everything in Europe is smaller.
Everything
the
is
streets,
smaller.
The coffees, the little the beverages, the, yeah, everything.
It's just tidy.
Yeah, yep. They just use less, need less.
Yeah, it's great.
Yep.
So anyway, that's where we're sitting. And the sun is out. It's not too hot, though. There's a breeze. And we're sitting next to this sweet young man who's telling us all sorts of stuff and helping us pronounce things correctly.
He helped us order. We asked him what's the best thing to eat.
Oh, yes. He told us what to get for breakfast.
So we ordered what they were eating.
We asked about breakfast, and he's like,
first I was like, why are these people drinking wine at 9 a.m.? Well, no, it's like 1:30 or 2 at this point.
Not the morning. Yes, it was, yeah.
But still, all the construction workers drinking wine. Who knows? And yeah, had just a great chat, found out where we were going to go for the day. He really recommended where we're at currently, just as far as it being close, and there's actually a beach nearby that we're going to check out tomorrow. But anyway, he gave us a lot of direction on all that. Very nice guy. Had our food, like, go to pay, and of course they take cards, but they don't have a contract with Visa or MasterCard, just Portuguese Visa, whatever company they have. So can't pay, and the lady taking the money absolutely did not speak any English or Spanish, and so figured out from somebody else that I could in fact go to IKEA to the ATM. So we go to IKEA. They actually let us both leave, which is very trusting. Go to IKEA, whip out the ATM card, our sweet Charles Schwab one that is, you know, our travel hack to have no ATM fees anywhere. Well, it expired last year because, you know, we're not leaving the country and using that card as much, so that didn't work. Ended up using, you know, a different debit card, a little $4 fee, you know, shame on us. But walked back, paid for our food, it was fine. And then we wandered through our IKEA. And it was surreal because it felt like we were in IKEA in Seattle, except everything was different. The post
it was smaller.
Everything the posters smaller. Looked like not Portugal. Yeah.
By the posters you mean when you go into a fake room and look out the fake window. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, and the people, just everything did not feel like the IKEA we'd been to before. And yeah, the couches, the chairs, the mega couches.
The laundry machines.
Yeah, small, thin, little double-stack laundry machines, very European. Everything looked different. So that was kind of surreal. It was just different. And the cafe, totally different. Didn't see the meatballs. It was all Portuguese. I got a Portuguese pastry and an espresso for 88 cents. Pretty great. And we got Caleb. Oh, we almost got him a mattress, but then remember, we actually have a second mattress in our van because there's a bed up above that you can sleep on, and there's a bed down below. So it's actually got enough probably room for four people to sleep in this thing. Nice van, a Fiat Talento. So it's talented.
Yes, very.
But yeah, we have the old Talento here.
We also got Caleb a little sippy cup because he's been really excited about drinking from cups.
And a candle that we're enjoying the light of right now.
Oh yeah, for your imagination, we're sitting here on our camper bed and it's dark out and windy and we got just a candle.
Yep. So
cozy.
Got ourselves out of IKEA. Finally, trying to just get out of the city, and we have a really beautiful, lovely drive to our current city, which we've been exploring all day.
Sintra.
They call it the medieval town, just steeped in history, I suppose, from that era. And yeah, every street, every area just seems just rich with history. Lots of different kinds of buildings and palaces way up on the hill. Way up on the hill is a castle, you know, just straight out of a medieval battle scene. You know, huge walls up on a rocky cliff. And
so we took a look at that and we were like, wow, we got to go there. Plug it in on my Google Maps and start just climbing up these, you know, little roads that are twisty and turny.
Thinner
that
than...
That are getting smaller and smaller as we go.
They are as wide as an American sidewalk. The wider one, but still. The old standard wide American sidewalk is what we're driving on. And it's getting narrower and narrower, over 180 degree turns that we have to 3-point turn. Finally, it's getting ridiculous, and I'm like, why are we on this road? And there's a police officer standing in the road, and he's just looking at me and saying, why are you on this road? And he points downhill. And so I give him the nod of agreement and say, you're right, sir. We should not be here. So we drive on back down, park, and we pass this cool-looking gothic cathedral-y castle mansion thing. And we say, yep, that's where we're going. So we go there. Oh, wait, no.
We learned about it from that museum that we went to.
Oh, that's right. That's how we found that whole thing. Right, so we came down the hill and stopped at a science museum because they had free parking. Or no, it wasn't free. It was supposedly their parking, but the guy was nice and let us park there. And had a good 20-minute chat with the guy running the science museum. And he gave us all kinds of advice, wrote down the names of restaurants and his favorite place, which is called...
The Quinta da Regaleira.
Something like that.
Quinta da Regaleira.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which he said is actually his favorite place to send people, favorite place to visit, a historical kind of place.
Turns out he had really good taste because we ended up in just the coolest, if you've ever been to... If you've ever been to Barcelona, there's that, gosh, I can't remember what it was called.
Gaudi's Garden.
The park or the garden.
Gaudi's Park, yeah.
Yeah, the Gaudi design. It's that neo-gothic, funky, crazy. I wouldn't say it was. It was definitely more gothic and Romanesque, both.
Yep.
But it was apparently made about 130 years ago and designed to be kind of a... How do I describe it?
I don't even know. It's just a huge property that goes up and up the hill. And at the top of the hill probably is that castle. It's a very steep hill. And it's just lush, lush gardens. Also, Portugal, by the way, is very humid, very lush, very green. It feels distinctly different than its neighboring Spain. A lot of Spain, at least the parts we were in, were a bit more arid, high desert kind of feeling. But lush gardens, the kind of stuff you'd only see in a greenhouse most places. And yeah, we had an hour. We barely got in. In fact, they closed the gate on some other people.
We made it in like a minute.
Oh yeah, and looking it up later, the only time you can really see this place, because it's usually so busy, is early or late. So we lucked out. Also, we're on the shoulder season in October. It's not as busy. And at the end of the day, it was even less busy. So we really had this entire Disneyland-sized compound, it felt like, to ourselves, that we could just wander. And there were castles, and there were turrets, and there were secret tunnels leading to cave waterfalls, and a well that was used supposedly for Knights Templar initiation ceremony. So the history of this place, you can look it up. A number of families owned it, changed hands. Not as old as you might think, about 100 years ago, a wealthy landowner decided to design this thing, and this guy was obsessed with secret societies and religious ceremonies. And so all of the statues and even the secret tunnels connecting different areas all have symbolism, supposedly, that connects to secret societies. And the natural, beautiful environment it was set in, the amount of sheer work that would have gone into creating.
Oh, it was so cool. You know,
these gardens and terraces and walkways and things carved out of the rocks, an extensive system of caves. And that didn't seem like they care much about lawsuits and slipping and falling, because you could go in, on, and under all of it. It was all cool. Open to just explore.
And you would just, you'd be walking along in this cave, and it would turn into a turret, and you just find yourself climbing up this tight spiral stone back. Like, you're in the dark. There are no lights. You're just in the pure dark. You're just climbing, 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 climbing. And then you pop out, and there's a window, and then you keep climbing up, 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 and there's another window, and then up, 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 and you're like 50 feet over the ground in this tower. It was so cool. Very surprising.
Super unique. Like I said, one of my favorite parts about travel is being shocked and surprised by something I didn't expect.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't expect this. Neither of us did, in fact.
No.
Because of the recommendation of the guy in the Science Museum, we found it.
We found it. In reading an article about it later, because we got there right before it closed, we didn't know anything about it. So we're just wandering around looking at it and be like, we don't know anything about this place. What is this? We're taking it all in with so much, you know, mystery and uncertainty, and now we're reading this article, and everything about it is like, oh, go at this time to avoid the lines, see this place first and then go to the initiation well, because otherwise you're just going to be waiting in line for hours. And because we were there at the very end of the day, we had the place entirely to ourselves. It was awesome. I mean, there were a few folks around that we chatted with, and that was lovely too, because we like people, we just don't like crowds. I'm sure we're not alone in that sentiment, but it was so awesome. And another thing about Portugal that I did not expect, that sort of goes along with what Justin was saying about it being really lush and wet, and like, you know, it's kind of rainy sometimes, so it feels a little bit like Hawaii with as far as the just the foliage. It's just like there's so much, you know, greenery, or really Western Washington for sure. But it also, it feels very like some of the buildings and stuff feel like Seattle, in that there's some cement, and even though it's shaped in definitely different ways, there's that slight bit of like mossy or kind of like grungy sort of looking drip lines, you know, around. So it kind of feels just like, I don't know. It's really cool. I love it. So all of these towers and stuff have this kind of like moody look to them. Which is pretty, pretty cool.
Yeah. Super unique. Lots of fun. And at that point, I was a little worried about our parking, because we'd parked in front of some dumpsters next to a couple of British guys in a motorcycle with a roof on it. But they seem to be doing all right. And no ticket on our car. That was a good thing. Caleb survived.
Caleb right now is pretty fascinated by my my shadow on the ceiling.
Yeah, so. With the candle lit from IKEA.
Yeah.
and so we got out of there, and there was a campsite that was recommended by our friend at the Science Museum, but we're trying to save money because the camper van does cost per day. So when you're thinking about this kind of stuff, you got to sort of factor in how much would a rental car be and an Airbnb, or a rental car and whatever.
Yeah, we don't want
to. So we've kind of run the math, and if at least half the time we can find a free spot to camp, we're at least closer to the winning side. The main reason we chose a van is, A, we wanted to try one out because, you know, they're all the rage, and it'd be fun to maybe get one at some point in the States. But B, with a baby and all the stuff and setting them up and just everything you need to keep a baby moving,
It's just too much to pack and unpack.
It is a lot to pack and unpack if you're moving accommodation daily for 10 days.
Yeah.
And we do want to cover some ground. We want to see a lot of stuff. And just the check-in and communication process of 10 different Airbnbs, not great. And hostels were fun. I don't know how many hostels take babies. That might be the end of our hostel season for a while, and part of me is not that sad about that.
Yeah, we have absolutely been there and done that.
We've done our time. We've done our time in those hostels. So, anyway, the camper van has been great so far. We're parking in a free spot that we're able to find on an app that we use, which was called
Park for Night.
I know
Park and the number 4 night.
Yeah, so that's for Portugal. I don't know about other countries.
I think it is worldwide.
Yeah, Park for Night. And so it led us to an interesting little parking lot here. There's a bathroom that looks like a castle turret, but like 5 feet wide. Just this round little tube.
It's a tube.
I think you got to pay 50 cents to get in, and we don't have change, so can't use that bathroom.
We went to a Brazilian restaurant.
A Brazilian buffet, turns out.
Looked like a little cafe. It wasn't too expensive, but the food was incredible.
And the people were so friendly. I'm guessing we might have strangely been some of the only tourists to ever go in there, because they were so excited we were there, and they all wanted to talk to us and talk about where we're from. And
they guessed that we were from Ukraine.
Yeah, supposedly.
So,
but then they were excited to practice English with us and show us pictures of their family and tell us that we had such a blessed little family and very nice people. And they sang the Brazilian happy birthday song to this other family. Nothing like ours, not the same tune, just a whole different song.
Yeah, that was fun.
And the guy had a guitar and he was very excited about it. They turned off the lights of the restaurant.
They turned off the lights and this guy comes out and
very dark. And he had his guitar, yeah. So anyway, a lot of fun. And ate a bunch of great Brazilian steakhouse kind of food.
Ooh.
Really good custards. And
yeah, fun fact, Caleb has been getting a little bit more excited about eating food that is not mama's milk. So we were able to give him a few things, and he was really excited about the, it seemed like it was like a potato and tuna casserole.
It was
so good.
He loved it.
He did love it. Yeah. He had some bites.
And he loves meat. He'll eat a piece of steak.
Oh, yeah. He chomped on some little meatsies. Now he's chomping on his feetsies, so.
And we can actually see that Brazilian steakhouse from our parking spot right now.
That is true.
We are just two dirt lots over.
Yep.
In this spot, there's two vans next to us. We feel like we're in good company. We'll just honk the horn in emergency if we need help from them, supposedly. The reviews said a few people did get robbed here, so here's hoping.
I hope they don't rob us.
Yep.
While we're in it. That would be
much
very,
to rob here.
Very odd.
But that is the end of this day. We're trying to figure out jet lag and when we should be asleep. And
I mean, because currently it's, midday in the U.S., so my body is definitely feeling like it's midday, so we're going to see what we can do to wind down.
Yep.
And try to go to bed. Caleb is currently on his tummy, and he's just throwing his head up and down, up and down, up and down.
Kicking his legs.
So.
Getting all that energy out.
Yep, you get that.
Because he thinks it's noon. Well, it's not.
It's not.
So tomorrow,
we'll let you know
how sleepy
goes.
Until then, sleep tight wherever you are.
We are Houts
About.
Or Houts About.